Hello and welcome to our service today. Great that you've been able to join us, and I hope and I pray that you'll be encouraged by what we're able to share together. How's your week been? Have you had a good week? I hope you've been able to see God at work in your life during this last week, and you've known his blessings. Maybe you've had a tough week and it's been full of challenges. Whatever your week has been, this is an opportunity for us to gain that godly perspective on life. This is our opportunity to lift our eyes up and refocus on the reality that Jesus is Lord of all. So I hope and I pray that during our reflections together, that is the sense that you have, that as we study the scriptures together, as we praise and worship and pray together, that your spirits will be lifted and your focus will be raised up to the things of God. Philippians 2 verse 9 says this: "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, this morning we're going to praise together, we're going to read God's word together, and through it all we're going to acknowledge that Jesus is King. So why don't we start our service today by singing together, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," that wonderful hymn that seeks to honour Jesus for the King that he truly is. Let's sing out and sing loud, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Crowns with many crowns.
Well, off the back of those amazing words, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for that reminder that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that you rule and reign over our lives, over our communities, over our nation, over our world. And as we acknowledge your kingship, we also acknowledge the privilege of being able to have close relationship with you. Lord, we want nothing more than to sit at your feet at this time and hear you speaking to us. So through your Spirit, witness to our spirits, and may we hear your voice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series, looking at this idea of being known by God and all that that may mean for us. How being known by God gives us a sense of identity, a sense of belonging. But I also want to drill down into that in terms of how that affects our daily living. You know, it's wonderful to acknowledge that we are known by God, but there are plenty of times in life where we feel lonely and isolated, where we have questions and doubts. So how does being known by God play out in those situations? There's numerous times within the Psalms where Scripture tells us that God is our refuge, our safe space, our place to run to in times of trouble. Psalm 91 says this: whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. They say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And similarly in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Wonderful words to affirm that God is that sure and stable, safe place that we can run to in times of trouble. But I think for most of us, we would want to acknowledge that there are plenty of circumstances in life where we find ourselves not necessarily doubting the safety that the Lord provides, but certainly struggling within the midst. When we're going through difficult times, there are times where we're wondering, where is God? Have you ever found yourself in a circumstance where you sort of cry out to God, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? How can this all be happening? And we lose sight of where God is, and God seems to be very absent. You know, I think we would all affirm that the Lord is our protector, but that doesn't mean that we are protected from all the strife of life. Where is God in the midst of difficulty? Where is God in the midst of grief? Where is God in the midst of the storms of life? We can find ourselves asking, where is God in the midst of that? We can also find ourselves asking, well, okay, we acknowledge that God is present, but does that mean he doesn't care? You know, does God really care what happens to me given the circumstances that I find myself in? Does God care? And I guess off the back of that, we probably find ourselves asking, are we allowed to ask such a question? As does God care? Well, I would like to explore some of this morning. Really look at where is God in the midst of the storm. And so it makes real sense to turn to an episode in the ministry of Jesus that speaks right into this. We're going to be turning to Mark chapter 4 and reading from there. So, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this: that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, this is a fascinating account of Jesus being revealed as God of creation. This is one of those moments where you see the divinity of Christ very clearly. Here is Jesus commanding the storm, commanding the wind, and the wind obeys. And I think we can take great comfort from this. We get to see the power of Christ at work. And it's interesting to see the disciples' reaction, that they were terrified, they were afraid when they saw the supreme power that Jesus held. So there's a lot that we can reflect on there. I think there are some questions that this passage raises. It's interesting that here the disciples are battling against a storm. The boat is clearly being swamped by the water. And what is Jesus doing? Well, he's sleeping, he's resting. And that raises interesting questions when we're battling and fighting and Jesus appears absent. Well, he sort of has form, if I can put it like that, without being disrespectful. There are times where he allows us to battle in our own strength, perhaps so that we can learn what it is to turn to him and to rely on him. So there's some reflections there that we can take from this. What I want to focus on today is what changes in this story. You see, there are three elements to this story, two of which can change and one remains constant. So the constant in this story is Jesus himself. We know that Jesus is Lord. We know that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. We know that he is faithful, that he is our rock, that he is our foundation. He is unshakable. The one aspect of this story that doesn't change is Jesus and who he is. So the other two elements that can change is the circumstance, i.e. the storm that is raging. That can change, and indeed we discover that it does. But the other element that can change is the disciples. Is there perspective, is their heart attitude, is their knowledge and understanding, is their maturity? Those things can change. And the question is, in this situation, in these circumstances, what is Jesus seeking to change? On the face of it, as I've said, Jesus obviously changes the circumstance. But I would suggest that the greater change occurs in the perspectives of the disciples. Jesus wants to change the disciples' heart. Jesus wants to change and mature the disciples' faith. And I would suggest that's his highest priority here. You see, the disciples need to go on a journey. This is very early on in the disciples' understanding of Jesus. They're just getting to know Jesus. They're just getting to understand a little bit more of who Jesus is. They're really only just beginning on the journey of faith. They've got an awful long way to go. One of the things that we discover about the disciples is that their futures are very stormy. they're going to face all sorts of difficulties and challenges. We see that within the ministry of Jesus himself, and we see that particularly on the night of the crucifixion, where everything that they've been believing in, everything they've been holding on to, is thrown into chaos. They're suddenly fleeing for their lives. Everything that they thought was going to happen has changed, and that is a very stormy time for them. And indeed, we read that on the night of the crucifixion that the disciples scatter. They're full of fear. Very difficult times for them to go through. And we see the chaos very much in how the disciples reflect on the events of the crucifixion before the resurrection. We have the wonderful account in Luke's gospel of the disciples on the Emmaus road. And in Luke chapter 24, we read this. Verse 17, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." You see at this point how the disciples' faith is in tatters. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to put their hope in. Everything has fallen apart. And yet we only have to move a little bit further on in the story to discover how they've been utterly transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit into gospel proclaiming, courageous people, prepared to suffer persecution, prepared to suffer rejection for the sake of the gospel. We soon read of Peter and Paul being imprisoned for their faith, for their belief in Jesus, for their proclamation of the good news of Jesus. Tradition tells us that many of the disciples actually gave their lives. They became martyrs, being put to death for their faith in Jesus. Now you compare that with their experience in the boat during the storm, and you see what an incredible journey they've been on. You see, in the boat, the disciples were saying, "Jesus, don't you even care about us?" And yet later on in their life, these same disciples, when they're facing death, face it willingly, not doubting that Jesus cares. What an amazing journey they've been on. What an amazing transformation has taken place. There's no sense that Peter or Paul, when they're facing imprisonment, there's no sense of them crying out to God saying, "Do you not care that we're suffering? Do you not care that we're in prison? Do you not care that we're facing death? Do you not care that we might drown?" In that sort of sense, what kept them going? How did they come to understand that Jesus did care, and that Jesus was with them? Well, that's the journey of faith. That's the journey of maturity. One of the things we have to come to believe is that Jesus is for us, and to not doubt that. You know, it's in a sense, it's not enough to simply believe that Jesus is for us. We have to live that out in the way we conduct ourselves, in the choices that we make. Jesus is for you. He's on your side. He is with you in the midst of the storm. He is still your place of refuge. He is still your protector, even when the storm rages. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is for you. And what he wants most is for you to turn to him and speak to him. Let him be the Lord in the midst of the storm. Question is, how will you respond? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Why don't we take a moment just to reflect on that? I've chosen a song to lead us in that. If you know the song, by all means, sing along, but I know it's a new song to many of us. Perhaps use this song to just minister to you, just listen to the words and claim them for yourself. The song is called "You Are For Me."
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do, you fill me, you see me, you know my every move, you love for me to see.
Philippians 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is doing a good work in you. There may be times where it doesn't feel like that. But Paul had every confidence that those Christians who he was writing to would grow and mature in their faith, because when God starts something, he finishes it. He completes his work in each one of us. And a lot of what his work involves is changing and transforming our hearts. It's maturing our faith. It's allowing us to see that he is our Lord and our refuge, even in the midst of storms. And often it takes storms for us to come to that understanding. I can't promise you that the storm that you may be going through right now, or the storm that's round the corner, is going to finish anytime soon. We never know how long the storms of life will rage. But we do know that Jesus is with us in the boat as the waves wash over the side. And that's where we have to place our faith. Life is difficult. A lot of the time, life is difficult. But with Jesus, life is made possible. So I want to challenge us this morning. Whatever season of life that you are in, I'd like to ask the question, what is God wanting to change in you? He knows you. You are known by God. And he's wanting to change and transform your life. So what is he wanting to change in you right now? It may be to do with those doubts about God's love, about whether he cares enough, whether he's interested. He wants to show you that he does care. And he wants to show you that he cares in the midst of the storm, not just after the storm has abated. When the waves are crashing over the side of our boat, we need to get to the point of knowing that Jesus cares for us. And it's okay. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to say, God, where are you in the midst of this storm? It's okay to seek him. That's what he wants. The important thing is that when we cry out to him, we also take the time to listen, even in the midst of the storm, to what he might say to us. Psalm 69, verse 1 says, Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. Thank you.
I know your story. I've read it cover to cover. And I know the storms that will come. The waves will swell and the sky will darken. Though you'll fight against the current, you'll be swept away. You'll feel helpless and abandoned, and you'll wonder where I am in the midst of it all. I know this isn't the way you thought our relationship would work, but my plans are not for my comfort or yours. My purposes are always and only an expression of love. The scars in my hands are proof that love will sometimes lead you directly into the storm. Though you can't understand my plans, you can trust in one thing, that I am entirely good. You can't even imagine how good I am, and my plan for you is no different. When you shout asking where I am, know that I am right behind you, with my arms wrapped tightly around you, whispering, I will never let go. For you are the pinnacle of my creation and the center of my affection. There will come a day when I will quiet every storm and wipe away every tear. In that day, there will be no more pain or death. But until that day comes, I will be your anchor in this storm.
You know, there's a great difference between God knowing of you and God knowing you. The Bible makes it very clear that God knows you. And in that, he is entirely invested in you. To put it very simply, he cares passionately about you. So much so that he is prepared to ride out the storms with you, to place himself alongside you in the midst of the difficulties and trials of life. He is our comforter and our strength. And I hope you know that this morning. It is difficult at times when we're in the midst of the storm to hold on to that perspective. But can I encourage you to hold on? To let God be your anchor in the midst of the storm? Because there is a day coming. One day when there'll be no more tears. No more pain, and the storms will have abated, and we will live in the calmness and joy of glory. Until that time, know that Jesus cares for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we don't want to doubt the love and the care that you have for us. There are times in life where our experiences and the circumstances of life seek to tell us differently. They seek to say that you don't care, that you're not interested. Lord, we silence those voices and we choose to believe that you do care. Not only that, Lord, we choose to believe that you are with us in the midst of the storm, that you are close by us, placing your arms around us, being our strong fortress, being our refuge, sheltering us under the shadow of your wing. Lord, whatever life may throw at us, help us to become mature in our faith so that we can face the greatest storms and not be shaken. Lord, thank you that you are so invested in us that you're willing to journey with us through this. Thank you for caring. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't we say the Lord's Prayer together and then we'll sing a final song. Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, there are many songs that we could have chosen to finish, but the one I've chosen is You Never Let Go. Again, picking up on the theme of being in the storm, but always knowing that God has his hand upon us and his grip is firm and secure. So let's sing together, You Never Let Go.
Never let go. Oh, you never let go of me.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. I hope it's been an encouragement. Whether you're going through a storm at this time or not, whether you're in a season of blessing and abundance or a season of difficulty, God is in the midst of it all, and he loves us, and we are known by him, and there is no greater thing in life. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you all. See you next week.